When I put a microphone on, it always reminds me of a fellow, a couple of fellows were at a conference, speakers were at a conference, and they had microphones. And one fellow got up and he picked up this other microphone, and the fellow says, "Listen," he says, "this is microphone, that is eurocrophone." This is my eurocrophone that I've got here just now. I was wondering why I seem to have lost some fire. And I know now. I went to take a pill that I should take every day and hadn't been taking too much. And take a pill, and I discovered I took a sleeping pill by mistake. So if I fall asleep, you'll... We say in Britain, you know, if the audience begins to sleep, then please waken up the preacher. So if it gets in like that, then just please waken up the preacher. I won't be offended. Really. I think this, we finish with the right portion tonight. I think that this is so beautiful as we come just to finish with what it tells us in verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And of course what we have here is the return of the Lord. Now we all know that the Lord's return. I can't tell you anything new about it, but I think that we should really take a look at it again to stir our hearts, because we're looking at it this way in a very important way this time. I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. Now, why do you want to go to heaven? Why do you want to go to heaven? Well, we know why Paul wanted to go to heaven. We know why. Why did he want to go to heaven?
Because he's there.
Because he was going to gain more. He was going to gain more of that which he had. He was going to gain Christ. He was going to then be in that likeness of Christ. He was going to have that likeness of Christ. And this was a wonderful thing. Oh, it's true that we say we want to go to heaven. You ask people why you want to go. Well, I want to go to heaven because I'm just tired of this world. I want to go to heaven, and it must be something better. And if you say, well, what's in heaven? What is there in heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ, yes, the Father. But you know, do we really know what's in heaven? You know, we really only know what heaven is by what heaven is not. That's it. That's what it is. You see, we really don't know. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But these things have been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that are revealed to us, wonderful things that make heaven. But we know heaven more by what it's not going to be than what it is going to be. And that's what makes it very attractive to us. Because you see, the actual thing is this. If it told us in the book, the Bible, what there was in heaven, and it used all the words about it, we wouldn't understand it. People say, well, what is this? I don't know, but it says it's in heaven. What's this? I don't know. I'll try and give you an illustration. I have friends down in Bolivia who work among the selváticos, the tribes of the jungles. Did you know they don't have a single word for a car? They don't have a word for an automobile. They don't have a word for an automobile. They don't have a word for a train. They don't even have a word for an airplane. They don't have a word for a television. They don't have a word for a radio. They don't have a word. They don't even have a word for a pair of shoes. Well, they do now, but they didn't have a word for a pair of shoes. They're now taking a kind of Spanish word. Now, why don't they have a word for these things? Huh? They can't even imagine what it's like. And so I would like to take you just now. We're sitting over a campfire down there in the jungles. You know, it's all dark outside. There's no electric light. It's dark. And they, of course, they sit over the campfire. That's the only light they have. And they're sitting over the campfire, and the missionary's talking to them. And I was going to use the word savages, but one of the fellows, one of the selváticos, the people who live in the forest, he turns around and he says to the missionary, he says, what light is it in the country that you come from? He said, well, I'll tell you some of the things in the country we come from. We have automobiles. We have cars. You have what? Cars. What's a car? Well, a car has, it's got four wheels. What's a wheel? I've never seen a wheel. Well, it's got a motor. What's a motor? Can you try and explain to him what a car is? We've got trains. What's a train? Locomotive. Don't know. I'll tell you what. You know how we have to go here from this river? And we want to go over that river away over there? Yeah. That river may be something in the distance, a tremendous distance of something like 15 kilometers away. And that's going to take them about 3 days to walk through the jungle. You don't walk fast through the jungle, let me tell you. You're hacking your way through the jungle. Except you've got a trail already made, but even then you don't go very fast. Because you don't go straight, you go winding every possible way. And you're avoiding certain rivers. The rivers come snaking along and you've got to... I've seen me going on a river and I've done about 2 miles and all I've gained is about 50 yards. It goes like that and comes all the way back down here again. Well, you see that river over here? Yeah. Do you know, it doesn't take me 3 days to go to that. No, how long does it take you? It takes you about... Now, he can't say 15 minutes because they don't know what a minute is. They can't see it. But he lets them understand it takes as long as you would eat a roast chicken or a roast turkey. But that's right away. Of course it's right away. Do you mean to say you don't have any distances in your country? We don't have these distances. It's a country without any. You don't need to walk for 3 days to get over there. You're there like that. What a country. And so as you're sitting around there, he says, now tell us some other things you've got in your country. And he says, well, we've got electric light. We have electricity. What's electricity? What's electricity? He doesn't have a word for electricity. If you try to explain what electricity is, there's only one way you can explain it to him. Lightning. Oh, I don't want to touch that. That kills. No, wait a minute, it's controlled. And we have the electric lights. What's noise? Well, there's a bulb, there's a bulb? What? Wire? What? Dynamo? What are you going to say? He says, we're sitting over the fire and we can hardly see. In our country, we go and we do that to a little thing, and immediately it's bright as day. Do you mean to say you don't have any night in your country? Oh, there's night, but you can make it like day. Do you mean to say that it boggles his mind? It boggles his mind, because he's afraid of dark. That's when the evil spirits come out. He's afraid of dark. That is when the predator animals come out. And you mean to say there's not a... What do you hunt over there? What do you hunt in your place? Have you got tapir? Have you got mariwaga? Have you got wild turkey? What do you hunt over there? Oh, we don't hunt. You don't hunt? How can you eat? We don't hunt. We go down to the supermarket. Yeah, what? Can you try to explain it, the supermarket? Can you try to explain what a supermarket is like? And then you tell them, well, we go into there's a place and we go into and we get all the vegetables. Do you mean bananas? Oh, loads of bananas. Bananas? You just go in there. Bananas? And then you tell them, and there's a place where you can get honey. They love honey. They'll travel for days and days to get honey. You can, all the honey you want. All the honey you want. It's in abundance. Everybody goes in. Of course, you don't talk about dollars because they wouldn't understand what a dollar is. They wouldn't understand how to gain money. He doesn't understand that. But you tell me you go in there and you can get it all. You don't hunt. You don't go out. And so you can go down any day. If it's raining, if it's sunny, if it is, any day. And it's always there. You know, you in the jungles, many a time, they'll go for weeks without hunting anything because it's just dry and the animals have gone off. That's your country. And so he says, I'd love to go to your country where there is no distance, where there is no night, and where there is no hunger. He doesn't understand what's in your country, but he understands what there is not in your country. In heaven, there are no tears. There's no sickness. There's no death. There's no separation. There's no night. There is no sin. There is no. And that's why we want to go there. We know more about heaven, of what it's not going to be like, than we know of what it is going to be. I'm not bothered of whether it's streets of gold or not, to tell you the truth. It doesn't really worry me. But it's certainly, heaven is a wonderful place. It's the Father's house. The Father is there. The Lord Jesus Christ is there. The one who captivates our heart, and this is true. But then all the other additions, we can't even imagine what it's like. And so here we have the host of the Apostle Paul, and he's been telling us about this great desire that he has for this Christ-likeness. And here he is coming out to this important thing, and yes, for to me to live is die. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But you know, the Apostle Paul is not looking forward to the shroud. He's looking forward to the shout. That's what it is. He is looking forward to that coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what he tells us. And the way he even puts it here is something which is so tremendous. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, once again, we're getting back, that conversation really means of the fact that our citizenship is there in heaven. And these people could understand it. You remember, they were a Roman colony. Their citizenship wasn't there. Do you know that the people in Philippi spoke Latin? Do you know that they dressed like the folk did in Rome? Do you know that they had customs of Rome? Do you know that they had everything had to do? It was a Rome. It was a little Roman colony in there, in an alien place. And let me tell you this: we of the Church of God should be an alien colony here in this world. With us, our citizenship is not in this world. We are not of this world. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our conversation comes from heaven itself. Our whole aspect and our whole longing is this, that, from. What would you think it might have been to someone who was maybe born in there in Philippi, had never seen Rome, and there came the opportunity that he was going to go to Rome? You're going to Rome in 3 months' time. By roll on those 3 months. He was going to see that place of which he really was a citizen. And he was going to hear not just something, if we might say, a little bit of it here in that certain part of the Roman Empire, but he was going to see Rome in all its glory. And he was going to see the emperor. And so what do you think it was? An earnest expectation. That couldn't come quick enough for him. And so the Apostle Paul is saying this, that we, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course the great thing here is this: who shall change our vile bodies? It's rather a pity to put in vile, but this body is not vile. This body that we have here is a body of a humiliation. That's true. This is a body with this weaknesses. This is a body that was made for earth. This body is subject to the limitations of earth. It is subject to the dimensions of earth. We can only be in one place at one time, and we are limited to it here. Now, this body was made to live in this earth. This body was never made to live in heaven. Speaking with Craig, isn't it Craig? Speaking with Craig, It was really a lovely time. He comes up with a thought, you know, that just keeps you going for hours. And he comes up and he says, what does it mean? And what would you think of this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, where it says that the law of life in Christ Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death, because he was the one, of course, who was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Sinful flesh. Why does it say, why does it not just say flesh? Why sinful flesh? And Craig popped out. He says, you see, this is the sinful flesh of Adam. And there's a possibility that Adam didn't have the same kind of body that we have. This is mortal. Do you remember he was immortal? And we don't know how long that time in the Edenic garden passed. It could have been 100 years, and he looked the same after 100 years as he did at the beginning. And there's an awful lot in that body which was different from this body of ours. That body had the full capacity of his brain. We use 1/200th part of our brain. Imagine that. 1/200th part of our brain is all we use in our whole life. He, with this, as he came from the hand of God, had the full capacity of this, of understanding. And he was fully mature. He was the one who was fully emotional, had all his emotions, had all the, were able to capture all the wisdom that there could be. He was, that was his body. But now we have a body of humiliation. It is a body in which we grow old. If you should have seen me when I was young and good looking, you've only seen me when I'm good looking, and there is a difference. But I've changed, and you change, and the change is mortality. And the Apostle Paul has that matter. Paul the aged. I wonder how he felt. Paul the aged, all he's been through, and he was bearing his body the marks of his suffering. And he is longing to put off this mortal body. He's longing that this body of his humiliation, and it shall be changed, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And in that he covers a lot. Now you've got to remember, Paul has already written 1 Thessalonians. Paul has already written 1 Corinthians. Paul has already written these things. Paul was able to take these and be a comfort and a help and a strength to others. And he was able to take that, and it was a comfort and help and strength to him, to himself. This body of humiliation, this body that gave him limits, the Apostle Paul would like to do an awful lot of things. We were coming out of the place here, and I said, why is it dark? And he said, you know, it's raining. Robert said, it's raining. And it was raining. He said, do you think we should make a run for it? And we made a run for it. And boy, I was puffed. And I wasn't going very fast. Now, if you'd have seen me when I was young and good looking, and these great legs could have strut out, I would hardly have got a drop of rain. But this body of my humiliation. And that's what it is, this body. And this body has placed limits. We were just talking at the tea table. I have limits. I would love to visit all the churches, all our assemblies in Bolivia. There are about 350 of these assemblies. But the majority of them are up in the high altitudes. And I just can't go because of this body of my humiliation. There are saints in Bolivia I'd love to meet, and I'll probably never meet them till I get to heaven. And it's because of this body of my humiliation. This body which was made for these limits here upon this earth, these dimensions. We have the dimension of length, breadth, height, and what's the fourth dimension?
Depth.
No, we've already been there. Height or depth, whichever you like. It all depends where you begin from, the bottom or up, or up or down. But what is the fourth dimension?
Time.
And we are limited to this in time. And there are these certain which we call natural limitations. They are the limitations were put there by God. And there are these. What's going to happen? Is this all that life is? Is this that we are waiting for just a continuity of what we have here? Is it? You see, this was the problem of the Sadducees. Remember I was telling them they thought that resurrection was just resuscitation. Just to go on living. I wouldn't mind living with Blanquita for the rest of eternity. Now, whether she would like that living with me, that's another matter. But I wouldn't mind that at all, of living with her as my wife. I wouldn't mind it at all. But that relationship isn't going to be there. It is, it's another kind of relationship altogether, which will be better. It's not going to lose one iota of its goodness. It's going to be better. In fact, it's going to be best. Of course, you know the old saying, to live above with saints you love, all that will be glory. It's like the little boy and the teacher was talking about going to heaven. Now, who all want to go to heaven? And all the little kids put up their hands, and the little boy kept his hands down. The teacher said, come on, let's again. She thought he didn't hear. Oh, hands up, all those who want to go to heaven. And some of the kids put up two hands. The little fellow kept his hands in his pocket. And at last the teacher says, don't you want to go to heaven? I sure do, but not with this lot, he said. But you see, our vile body confines us like this, and it's not going to be like this. There is a lot of me that's not going to be there. It's the content that's not going to be there. The form is going to be there. And that part that occupies, which is Christ in me, that's going to occupy the content completely. Completely, completely, completely. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, that when we see him, we shall be like him. And it's not only like him in the physical or in the body, but it's like him as he is in us just now. But then it will be in all its fullness and its completeness. It will be not just the image, it will be the it will be the image likeness, or the likeness image, and the whole thing there, or the whole Beijing that God has really got for us will be there. And this is why he's longing for this, that this body, it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. This is the body with which he rose again from among the dead, the same body, still with the marks of his passion upon his person, but it was the same body, but it was not the same kind of body. It was no longer bound to the limits of this earth. He could disappear. Sometimes we wish some of our believers could disappear as well, don't we? But he could disappear. He could pass through closed doors. Yet he could eat. I don't know what the body's like, but it tells me it's a spiritual body. And this would be, to me, would convey the fact that it is spirit, that it is a body in which it is the spirit is the predominant in this body. Not the spirit, the ghost that's flying around. Because when we die, as the Apostle Paul says, and he makes it clear, in 2 Corinthians 5, that to be absent from this body, present with Christ, yes, but it's a tabernacle, absent from this tabernacle, but we don't want to be there unclothed. There has to be the full redemption. And the full redemption includes this body of mine. And he's waiting to be clothed upon, to put off this tabernacle, and it's only a tabernacle, and to enter into the reality of the temple. The building which is permanent, and there in the presence of God. And he's looking for that. He's stretching out his neck. He's looking for it. He's waiting for it in great anticipation. And of course we have it here that his body will be fashioned like. So it won't only be the fact that he will have the content, but even the form. It's not going to be changed in its form, but it's going to be changed in its substance. I am going to be Frank Haggerty for all eternity. I'm going to be Frank, and Paul is Paul for all eternity. When we say we like him, it's not just a lot of little kind of. We're not going up there with cookie. What do you call it? A cookie stamper? A cookie? What? Cookie cutter, isn't it? It's not a. We're not all of cookie cutters. What colour are we going to be up there? You know, that's one thing I had against Uncle Tom's cabin, because poor old Uncle Tom, when he died, he went up to heaven and he was white. I don't think he'd feel comfortable being white. I don't think it would. That's just our idea. I don't know what colour. Maybe we'll all be green. I mean, a nice shade of green. I think we'll. And I think we'll just be the same as we are just now. I think so. It's a body like unto his, and he had the same colour. When they were walking through the road to Emmaus, they didn't look up and see a fellow they thought was a Martian who was green. They didn't see that. They saw a man who was just like a man. Just like he was. That's it. And we are going to be from this seed, which is planted. We're talking now of one who dies, which is planted in the earth, and what's going to happen in resurrection? A body like unto his own glorious body. Blanketa brings into the house. She prepares a little place in one of the places we stayed in, near the hall when we lived there, and she likes flowers. She prepared a place and she brought me along some, and she brought along seeds. I think it's sweet peas or something like that, you know. I don't know. Again, I don't come up and cut off my head for this if I'm wrong, but it was some kind of, I don't know anything about plants at all. And she brought in little seeds, and there were little black seeds, little things. If I saw them in the ground, I'd pass them by. And she planted these seeds. And you know, when they were resurrected, they died, and then up came forth this new life. Why, you should have seen it. These little black, filthy looking things that looked like a piece of dirt, when they grew up, our patio was just filled with all kinds of beautiful flowers. You see, we are sown in weakness, raised in strength. It is sown a natural body, there will be the resurrection of a spiritual body. Now if I get one of these little seeds and I break it open, is it full of little colours? What kind of flowers is it going to be? Doesn't smell. Can't get any smell at all. But when it comes up, beautiful flowers. The perfume is terrific. That's just a picture of the difference that it's going to be like. This body of our humiliation is going to be changed like unto a body, the body of his glory. And it's no wonder we're waiting for that. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be glorious when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Can you imagine it? The Apostle Paul pictures it so wonderfully. He's telling us what kind of bodies it's going to be and all the rest of that. And how long is this going to take? How long is it going to take for all this to happen? How long? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye in a moment. A moment is something that cannot be divided. I didn't know that. You know, I'm kind of glad it says in the twinkling of an eye. Because I don't know what happens to you, but I'm working in the garage, or I'm working at the carpenter shop, I'm working making something, I'm doing something, or I'm reading. And Blanketa says, dinner's ready. I'll be there in a moment. And I'm just finishing a very good part of the book. Coming back in half an hour. Right. Just a moment. I'm not the only guilty one. Don't get that. Because when we're going some place and she's getting dressed, and I say, right, Blanquita, we're going, just a moment. I don't need to tell you what happens. A man said that you could receive a good university education for all the time you spend waiting your wife to get ready. A moment, Frank, a moment, a moment, a moment. In a moment, in the blinking of an eye, boom, as quick as that. In a moment, in the twinkling of a eye, for the trump shall sound. How's it put? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, I know a lot of people think that the last trump means the seventh trumpet. Who's going to blow the trumpet? Who's going to blow the trumpet at our being changed? Who's going to blow the trumpet? Gabriel? Who's going to blow the trumpet? Do you remember when John is in cut up into this vision, and he hears the noise and he hears the voice of a trumpet, and he turns around, and who does he see? Who does he see?
The Lord.
The Lord Jesus Christ. At the last trump. And we have the picture here. You can either take it, the picture of Israel, that whenever the cloud moved, and the people got ready, and they got all packing and that, and then there was the blowing of the trumpet. Or you can get it, I like it, I'll tell you how I like to picture it. I like to picture it something like this. It's like the camp, the Roman soldiers are at the camp, and they're kind of sleeping, and they're all lazing around. You know what a soldier says? If you can sit, don't stand. If you can sit, lie down. And the thing is, just stretch out and take all the ease that you possibly can. And you can see this camp of soldiers that are up there, and they're all around like this, and then the general says, get camp ready. And they blow a trumpet, bump it a bump. What happens is this, it stirs the people up. It stirs the soldier up, it gets him ready, gets his arms, sticks on the temple room, he's doing a lot of, and he's getting things all going, and they kind of get into order. And they're all there waiting. There's maybe one or two trumpets blowing, but then there comes the moment that it blows the last trump. And when the last trump blows, the sergeant majors and everything, because you know the bodies of the saints that we resurrected, we are to be changed, but at that trump, and it's just march and off we go, all together. I can just imagine this mighty army. The dead in Christ being raised first. The corruption putting on incorruption. And this mortal putting on immortality. And it's not the body that was sown before because that is incorruption. It is incorruption. A body like unto his own. And this body of mine endures when the Christ comes, and we hear that shout and the trumpet, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, will be changed, and this mortal will put on immortality. In a moment, in a twinkling. Can you imagine it? Can you really imagine what's going to happen whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes? And we'll be sitting around. Wouldn't it be marvelous if he could just come just now, and we've been thinking so much about him, and boom, the reality will be just there in front of us. But can you imagine, all taint of sin will be gone. There's going to be an awful lot of glasses left here when we go.
False teeth?
Well, I don't think you need them, that's right. There are an awful lot of things that are going... There are a lot of wooden legs that are going to be left around, too. Hearing aid. Can you just imagine it? Can you just imagine the Lord Jesus Christ coming and he says, come, and up we go. And the blind opens his eyes to see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing he ever sees in all his existence, he sees the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine it? Why, it was going to be glorious for me to see it. What is it going to be like for him? What is it going to be like for him? And the deaf will hear the shouts of hallelujah and the courts of heaven ringing. And the dumb will be singing as even you and I can't sing just now. And the lame shall be leaping for joy. No wooden legs there. Jumping and just like little spring lambs. And there'll be a tremendous end. No cancer patients. And the doctors are out of a job. Sam. But Sam, you'll be there. You'll be there. And you'll be known something like Luke, the beloved physician. You're taking something of it with you. You're taking the service you've done for God with you. It's going to be terrific. I was telling the people just recently, I think it's going to be great to heaven. I have a problem. There it is. See it? Doesn't seem much of a problem. It's a problem to me because I can only count out to 9.5. You try counting up to 9.5. You've got to take off your shoes sometimes to count. And when I go home and I get there, well, there's no glasses. And I'll look at my hands and I'll say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, all's going well. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hallelujah! 10. And I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know what's wrong with you. But it will be gone. And we'll have glorious bodies like unto his body. We will have the capacity to be able to take in with these eyes of ours what glory is. I desire that they that are mine be with me to behold my glory. And we're not only going to behold it, we're going to share it. And we're going to hear as we can't even hear. Eh? What did you say? No. We're going to hear the courts of heaven ring with the anthems of praise and be able to appreciate it. These poor folk that don't... There are people who can't hear music. They can hear, but they don't hear music. They can't hear the scales. They can't hear anything like that. It's just like a clash. And up there, they'll say, is that what it sounded like? It reminds me of Ned Meharg, who brought back from one of his trips some hearing aids. And there was an old man up in a place called Villa Bush, and he'd been deaf for so long. And Ned gave him this. They gave him this. This hearing aid, and he put in this hearing aid, and he heard for the first time a cock crowing. He always saw the cock go. And he gets up this morning, and he's out, and a cock goes. He was surprised with his life. He didn't know that's what the cocks did. He didn't know. And we'll be able to sing, we'll be able to hear, we'll be able to shout with joy, and we'll be able to know even as we are known. This 200th part of the brain will go pop, and our understanding will be opened, and it will be open to understand the deep things and the glorious things of God. And it's not that we'll know everything, because we won't know everything, because we've got a whole eternity to learn and learn and learn more of the beauties and glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. You think it's been great being here for a couple of days and learning the glories of Christ? Can you imagine learning it in all eternity? Can you just imagine it, learning it in all eternity? And learning more and more and more, and we'll have great conversations. You know, I've got a few things to talk to Paul about. I wonder if he'll know why he didn't write a little bit clearer. For me. Now, why didn't you use this word, Paul, unless that other word? And he'll tell me. And I'll know why he used it. And I got a chance to talk. Some folk are going to come up and say, well, who are you? Well, you're Thomas. Yes, I'm Thomas. I'm going to feel ashamed. Because Thomas isn't the man who was a doubter, only a doubter. Tom was an amazing man. promise is amazing. And some will go up and they'll say, you're Nicodemus. You remember you used to preach that I was afraid to go to the Lord Jesus Christ at night time? Yeah, I remember. I wasn't the least bit afraid, you know. It was just night time was the only time I could get a talk to him because he was so busy all the rest of the day. You know, you were wrong. Really, Nicodemus? Yeah, you were. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that will take place before we get into heaven. That's already arranged. And well, I want to talk to that wee boy who gave the Lord 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I want to talk to him. And I've no doubt he'll be there. And we have got so many folk to talk to. It's going to be great. We can't even imagine it. It doesn't even, we try, we're doing this, and we're reaching out, and we're reaching out, and we're trying to stretch ourselves, we're trying to, it's not we're trying to make it better, it's just we're trying to, no, I think we come again, that it's not just superior to this earth, it is supreme. This is a word that's been coming up again and again this day, supreme, supreme. And the great supremeness of it all is we will be Christ-like. I think that's the greatest thing of all. We will have the mind of Christ as we could never have it here upon this earth. For we shall see him. I'm going to leave them. And this must have been a terrible thought for those disciples. He was going to leave them. There was going to be an awfully dark night. And they had every reason to be troubled. Do you know, these apostles were all different. You think of Thomas and Peter. Impetuous Peter and cautious Thomas. You think of Matthew and Simon the Canaanite. It was not so much Canaanite, it was actually a political party. He was one of the men who was a tremendous patriot. And here's Matthew and this tremendous patriot. You just try and take a look at some of what we know about these men. They were so different, but there was one thing that bound them. What was it? The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one thing we have to say about them. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm going and leaving you. And I don't know, I can see Peter looking at Thomas. I don't know if he was saying, well, I won't need to be with that. I don't think he was saying that. He loved Thomas because Thomas loved the Lord. And Simon loved Matthew because Matthew loved the Lord. But if the Lord was going to go away, what was going to keep them together? What was going to keep them together? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And what he's telling them there, have you seen God? No, do you believe in God? We sure do. You're not going to see me. But that doesn't mean to say I'm gone. I won't leave you as an orphan. I'll send the Comforter, and he will speak of the things concerning me. He will reveal me to you. And you know, that was the great and the wonderful and the glorious thing. And if we are bound closely together, it's only because we're bound together in the bonds of Jesus Christ. And then you remember when he writes to the Thessalonians, and he tells the Thessalonians of this wonderful thing that we're looking for him coming, and we'll all be caught up together to receive the Lord in the earth, and so worship will we be forever with the Lord. What comes next?
Wherefore?
Comfort ye one another with these words. You see, they were worried about some of their dear friends who had died, perhaps because of the persecution. And you know, there can be some things said about that. We had one of our missionaries and his son died, 17 years of age, and he just keeled over and died. And people came to see him. His boy wasn't walking too well with the Lord, but he had declared just a little time before that he was saved, that he was sorry for what he did, and yes, it was going to be a different life for him. And in less than an hour, he was in the presence of the Lord. And people came and they say, you know, I think the Lord took your son because he knew what kind of life he would live, and he didn't want to live that life away from him that could be an evil life, and so he took him home. That's balderdash. That's not true. Boy, there's a lot of people I wish the Lord had taken them home. People who have caused terrible division. People who have done an awful lot more than that young lad could ever have done. And the Lord didn't take them. The Lord took him home because the Lord wanted him home, and that's it. And people will come in and tell this dear husband and wife this. This is where they're coming, these comforters coming and telling them. I went up and I said to him, you know, Merlin, and the man was heartbroken. I think what was breaking his heart was what people were comforting him with. I went up and I said, you know, he says, well, maybe the Lord took him because... Merlin, no. Merlin, that's wrong. The Lord took him home because he wanted him to be home there with him. He said, did he? Of course he did. And I told him, just as I've told you, there's some other people that should have been called home to get them out of the way. But the Lord is gracious. And he said, you know, I'm comforted. And Merlin, you're going to see him and he's going to have a body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all sin and everything will be gone and you'll see him. He said, yes, I'll see him. I think he wasn't looking forward to seeing his son. Comfort ye one another with these words. And there's no greater comfort. We sorrow not as others who have no hope. We sorrow. In Bolivia, you know, you were put in discipline if you sorrowed after your brother or sister in Christ died. You were put in discipline. We sorrow not. And they shoved in a full stop when it didn't come in at all. I was at a meeting, and two of the finest men in that meeting both had the little thing that they have over there, a little mark. One had lost his mother and the other had lost his son. It's just a little thing that shows. And they were put out of fellowship. They couldn't, they were at that elders' meeting and they couldn't partake of the Lord's Supper because they were mourning. That's how things go. That is what you call, what is it we're calling, traditions. We sorrow, not as others sorrow. When I received the word that my father had passed into the presence of the Lord in Bolivia, oh, I wanted to go and see my dad again. I wanted him to meet Blanquita. I wanted him to see his grandsons. I wanted Blanquita to get to know this man. But he died. The Lord took him home. And I didn't want to talk to anyone. You know what it is. You don't need to tell you. And then I began to think. Clunk. I know you'll not hear his voice again. In this earth, I know you'll not see him again. But Frank, would you bring him back? Would you bring him back? If you had the power, would you bring your dad back? Would I bring him back into this world? The world that was a hard world, I wouldn't. With him, it is far better. And my heart was comforted. Comforted. He has given us such a comfort. And this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we'll be together, to never part again. No death in heaven. No death in heaven. Can you imagine it? Immortality. And then it turns around and tells us, do you remember how it finishes? Therefore be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. And the young fellows told us what's going to happen. They've done things for him, and the Lord's given us everything, and we'll get up there and he'll give us maybe even a crown. There it is. Lord, I don't want. There it is. There it is. That's what it's going to be like. It is not in vain. And we're going to get up there, and you remember the fellow with the chains? Do you remember him? And we're going to get up there, and it's going to be the golden glory for what we've suffered down here. And you know what we're going to say? I wish I'd suffered more. I wish it had been longer. And it's not because of our rewards. The rewards are going to be there. Let's not forget it. Those rewards are going to be there. He's like that. But he's going to give us these rewards, and one day we're going to cast them at his feet and say, thou art worthy. That, I believe, will be the greatest moment in my existence. I believe it. And I want to have the best that I possibly can. Paul says, I'll stay on a little while longer because it's fruit for my Lord. I worked in a workshop. There were four of us in there who were Christians, and we used to sit around reading our Bibles and having little Bible readings. And one of the fellows there, he was a very nice fellow and all that, but he knew his hymn book better than he knew his Bible. He could quote all the hymns, but he didn't have a memory for quoting the Bible, he said. Now, he was a very nice man, but we were talking about these things, and one day he said something like this. He said, you talk about this, you talk about that, you talk about this. He says, the great thing is that I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. And that's great. And he says, I'm going to heaven, and when I get to heaven, I don't care if all I get, I'll be satisfied with a brush to sweep the streaks of gold. And I was just a young Christian. I couldn't have been any more than 2 years old, 2 years of a Christian at that time. And I said, Sam, when I get to heaven, I don't want to cast a sweeping brush at the feet of the Lord. I want to put a crown before him, because he's worthy of more than a sweeping brush. And isn't that right? He's worthy of everything possible that we could give him. And when we get there and we see what we have, I don't care who's got the brightest crown in heaven, he's going to say, it's not enough. It's not enough. He's worthy to receive all glory, power, praise, and worship. For he was slain for us. It's no wonder the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it. And I'm looking for it. It won't be a surprise if the Lord comes tonight. It won't catch me by surprise. But I'm going to tell you, it won't be a disappointment either. Now, there's a time it was a disappointment. There was times that I was all caught up in prophecy, and I was surprised to get up in the morning. I was surprised. I expected to waken up in heaven. And there were times I was surprised, but that's past. Because I know that as long as he leaves me here, it is the possibility of more fruit for him. And I'll tell you, in those days, I wanted Christ to come. But if he had come at that time, there's an awful lot of people who are going to heaven that wouldn't be going to heaven. Isn't that true? It's his long suffering. But let us remember, there is coming the time, and it's very near, when the last soul shall be saved, and the trump shall sound, and the voice, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll see him, and we will be like him. And it's going to be soon. It's going to be soon. I feel that. If it's not soon, I don't know. The Bible finishes with these words. Can we finish with these words? The Bible finishes with these words. Chapter 22. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. What do we respond? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Isn't it true? Even so come, Lord Jesus. But if he doesn't come, if he doesn't come in this world, and how does it finish? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. If he doesn't come, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will carry us through. And we won't be disappointed. We will lack nothing. And so, with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as you're going home, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all until we meet again. And as they say in Scotland, here, there, or in the air. Let's all hope it's in the air. I want to thank you very much for your complete attention. I want to thank you very much for all that's been said, but I'm going to turn in and tell you, I don't know what you feel yourself, but I've got more than any of you. I have seen hope where people say there's no hope. I have seen intense interest for the study of the Word of God. I have seen people who say, I don't know much, and yet they know an awful lot, but they know there's an awful lot more to know. It's not that you don't know much, brother. You know an awful lot, and these young men would like to know a lot of what you know because of your experience. And they've come and they've talked to you and they've learned. You know. But now you know there's an awful lot more to know. And you want to mount up with those wings. And mount up. It's been a wonderful time of fellowship. It's been a little heaven here upon earth. And I pray that each of us will now take with us that which we have learned and put it into practice. And I pray that our assemblies will see Christ in us. And we pray that there are people in our assemblies who will want to see Christ in us, in themselves too, as they've seen him in us. But they'll want to be followers in that sense, not followers in the sense that I am of Paul, I am Apollos. Paul and Apollos and Cephas didn't want people following them in that way. They wanted to be imitators of them, even as they were of Christ. And if this does happen, we'll be a great blessing to every one of our assemblies. May the Lord bless you all. I think Mr. Jeffrey should come and finish with a prayer. Is it Mr. or is it John? Come on, John. We've got him isolated as if he was in Coventry. Do you know what in Coventry means? You don't know what... In Coventry is what you used to do at school. If a boy did something wrong, he was put into Coventry. No one would speak to him, and he sat away up there. John? May I ask you to give to those men of CMML our grateful thanks. Amen. Having arranged this for us, one of these occasions was the highlight of my furlough, and it's a highlight here as well. Thank them from the depth of our hearts, please.
We'll do that, but we appreciate you men coming. So we look to the Lord in prayer. I don't know if they can do it. Father, our hearts have been touched this week in ways they've never been touched before. But how we rejoice in the knowledge that we have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful that He is in us. And we pray that people will see Him in us and will want to be like Him. And our God, we are indeed looking forward to that time when we shall be with Him for all eternity. Then we'll really praise Him as we should. Now, Father, we thank Thee again for our beloved brother who has ministered to our hearts so admirably this week. And we just pray that Thou will bless him and his dear wife in the days that lie ahead. Bless each and every man here. And bless the homes and the assemblies they represent. That all of us might bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died, that we might live and live for all eternity. And we'll give you all the thanks. Amen.